B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Beis. We're going to start from the top of the Omud, the new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hazoyreik, if somebody by mistake he throws on Shabbos, he throws something in Erushos HaRabim, he forgets that you're not allowed to transfer something for Amos in Erushos HaRabim, or he forgets it's Shabbos. V'nizkar me'achar sheyotzo miyodoy. And after the item leaves his hand, it's already in transit, he remembers, it's Shabbos, it's Osa, before it landed. And not only that, kolto achir, somebody came towards this object and received it. It didn't actually land on the ground in the way that it was intended to. Or kolto kelev, if a dog caught it in its mouth, or if it got caught in a fire and got burnt up, and then there was nothing to land anymore, in that case, potter, he's potter. And we're going to discuss in the Gemara that it seems that there's two reasons why he's potter from the Korban Chatos. Number one, because to be chayav a Korban Chatos, you have to be entirely b'shoigig. Over here, in the middle of the Melocha, he was suddenly not b'shoigig anymore. He remembered. There's another reason that he should be potter from bringing a chatos, is because there was no hanocha. And the Gemara is going to discuss, why do we need to mention two reasons in the same case that he should be potter from a chatos? But that was stage number one of the Mishnah. Case number two in the Mishnah, Zorak lasu is chabura. If somebody threw a stone with the intentions of making a chabura, of hurting somebody, of bruising, bein odom bein behema, of bruising, of causing either a person or an animal to bleed, or to have a wound, v'nizkar ad shelo inasis chabura. Making a chabura on Shabbos is also, it's one of the melochis. And if he remembered before the stone or whatever he threw reached its target, he remembered that it was osa, potter, he's potter from bringing a chatos. Stage number three in the Mishnah, zeh klal, this is the rule, kol chay ve'chatois, all the chiyuvim where one brings a chatos, einon chayovin, one is only chayev to bring a chatos, ad shetehei tchiloson v'soifon shgogo. Only if at the point that he started the melocha, he was a shoigig, as well as the point that when he finished the melocha, he was a shoigig. If in the meantime he became aware that he was doing an avera, and now the end of the melocha is no longer b'shoigig, he's not going to be chayiv. Tchiloson shgogo, v'soifon shgogo, v'soifon zodoin. If the beginning was by mistake, and the end was on purpose, was deliberate, or tchiloson zodoin, v'soifon shgogo, when he started the melocha, it was deliberate, but when he finished it, he was a shoigig. Pturim, one is potter from bringing a chatos, ad shetehei tchiloson v'soifon shgogo. Again, the Mishnah reiterates that one is only chayev echatos if the melocha was done at the beginning and the end b'shgogo. Says the Gemara, ho nocho chayev. The Gemara is deducing from stage number one in the Mishnah. In stage number one it said as follows, somebody who threw something, an item, he remembered in the middle, in transit, that it's also to do on Shabbos, and there was no hanocha, because the hanocha was either kol to achir, kol to kelev, or nisrafo. It got burnt, then the Mishnah says he's potter. So the Gemara deduces from there, hanocha, in the event that it would have landed in the proper hanocha, chayev, he would be chayev, in spite of the fact that in transit he became aware that he was amazed. That he was amazed from that point. He became aware that it's Asa. From this point and on, it's deliberate. Asks the Gemara of Ahalui Nizkar. He remembered in the middle, before the Malacha was finished, he remembered it's Asa. So from this point on, he's not a Shoigig anymore. How can you say he's Chayev? In the Mishnah, it seems he's only Potter because there was no Hanocha. And the fact that he remembered doesn't seem to bother us. Why does it not bother you? Utnan kol chay vechatois inun chayovin achetei tchiloson v'soifon shgogo. Did we not learn in stage 3 of the Mishnah that you only chayev chatos if you were a shoigig at the beginning and the end? V'hei, he wasn't a shoigig at the end. Omar Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana's got an approach to this issue. Sefer oson lelechto umosno. We're talking about here an item, and without getting complicated exactly what this is, it was a type of peg that was hung onto the back of an animal, onto which they would hang some jugs. Either way, the way this was made, it was a peg that was thrown, but the peg actually had a thread on it. And the person that was holding, that was throwing, that was Zorak through this peg, he was actually holding onto the string, even though he was through the peg. And since he was holding onto the thread, then when he became aware in mid-transit that he's not allowed to throw this item, he can actually retract the melacha and bring this peg back to him. And if he doesn't do that, then we say from this point and on, you're considered a mazid, and the rule in stage 3 applies. However, in stage 1 of the Mishnah, which we're discussing now, we're talking about that he threw something that was not still being held by the person who threw it, and since he's got absolutely no control over the end of this throwing, once it's thrown, that's it, you cannot bring it back. Since you cannot bring it back, your intentions at that point are of absolutely no relevance whatsoever, and therefore becoming aware in transit that its osa is not going to mark the end of the melacha as being bemezid, because we consider the whole melacha as being done when you threw it. Since when you threw it, it was a shaygig, you cannot change it in the middle, because just becoming aware now, there's nothing you can do about it anymore. This is a melacha that's going to be brought to its end based on the original shaygig. Therefore, the case of Zayrek, the reason that if it would have a hanocha, in the event they had a hanocha, he would be chayev, even though nizkar, he remembered in the middle that it was osa. The reason is because we're talking about Zayrek throwing it, and when one throws it, then the concept of nizkar, of remembering, of becoming aware, has no relevance whatsoever. How did Yuriv Kahana explain that there should not be a contradiction between the stage 1 of the Mishnah and stage 3? You explained that the rule in stage 3 only applies that when remembering and becoming aware in the middle of a melacha, you could actually retract and stop the melacha. And since you didn't, you're considered a mezid at the end of the melacha, and he's not going to be chayev chatos. And we said that was talking about a lechto umosno, a peg with the cord attached to it, and the cord is still held in the person's hands. Asks the Gemara, if the string is still held in the person's hand as it was when he threw it, then in any event, even if he's not going to be nizkar, even if he doesn't remember, and he throws it, and he thinks, it's a shoygig, he thinks it's mutter, he forgets it's Shabbos, and it lands, you're going to be chayev there? You're not going to be chayev because you're still holding it in your hand. Anything that's still anchored in the original rishus, when you throw something, it's not called you did an akira at all. It hasn't left its original place. You're still holding onto it with a string. We've seen this concept previously. Asks the Gemara, lechto o masno, oygdoi biyodehu. It's still anchored, it's still attached to his hand. And therefore, the rule at the end of the Mishnah also won't apply. He's not going to be chayev v'chatos because there was no akira. Says the Gemara, kegoyin sheniskavin la'asoyis chabura. You're right. In the case of Zayrek, if you're holding the string, there was never an akira. If you're not holding the string, and since you cannot retract it in the middle, it doesn't matter if you become aware in the middle, it's considered a shoygig, you're going to be chayev. The rule at the end of the Mishnah that says that if you remember, if you become aware in the middle, that's when you're potter from a chatos. If you're not aware, you're going to be chayev, cannot be talking about Zayrek. It must be talking about stage 2 in the Mishnah. It must be talking about sheniskavin la'asus chabura, where we're not talking about Hilchas Shabbos. In Hilchas Shabbos, if you're holding on to the string, it's not called an Akira. But as far as the Hilchas Shabbos, not of carrying, but of making a Chabura, even if you're holding on to the string, you're still Chayev for making a Chabura. And therefore, if you threw it with the intent of making a Chabura, and you remembered in the middle, and you could have brought it back, then you're called a mezid. From this point, you won't be chayev echatos. But if you could not bring it back, if you just throw it, in that case, if you make a chabura, even if you're holding the string, If you're holding the string and it makes a chabura, you will be chayev for the chabura. You won't be chayev for dal adamas bereshus harabim because there was no akira. But on a chabura, you made a chabura. Asks the Gemara, honami tanina hazayir klasis chabura bein ba'odom bein ba'behema. How can you say the final stage is that if you became aware in the middle of the malacha, you're not going to be chayev chatos? If you're not aware, you are going to be chayev chatos, and you're saying that cannot apply to zayrek, as we said before, because with zayrek, if you're holding it, you're not chayev at all, because there was no akira. If you're not holding the string, then even if you become aware, you'll still be chayev chatos because you cannot retract it. So we're only talking about chabura. Then what is the third stage of the Mishnah adding on to the second stage? It's explicit in the second stage of the Mishnah, in the case of chabura, that if you became aware in the middle, you're potter, and otherwise you're chayev. So and the sefer, the last stage of the Mishnah, must be adding something. Elo Omar Rava. So we cannot stay with Rav Kahana's way of dealing with this. Rava's got a new approach here. Elo Omar Rava b'mavir, that this, it goes as follows. The sefer, the last stage, that means the way we understand the resha is the same as Rav Kahana. That in the case of Zayrek, there's the rule that doesn't apply, like we said before. With Zayrek, even if you remember in the middle, if you cannot bring it back, you're going to be chayev because your intentions in transit make no relevance. If you can bring it back, you're in any case not chayev because there was no akira. We had an issue. We've got case number two, stage number two in the Mishnah, talking about chabura, and then we have the klal at the end. We want to know what the klal is. We thought the klal was going to be for chabura. It can't be because that's exactly identical to the middle case in the Mishnah. So Rava says, no, I've got another case. We're talking about somebody who's walking with the chayfetz. He's being maver of the chayfetz, daladamis. And he started off b'shoigig, and he remembers in the middle that is Shabbos, it's Asa. And he could stop. He can stop in his track. Don't walk the another two amas. Don't reach the end of the four amas. So in that case, that's the klal. If you were not aware in the middle, you'll be chayev achatos. If you became aware, you're amazed. And therefore, if you continue walking, you will not be chayev the chatos. Asks the Gemara, v'hozea klal diktoni azrika ktoni. The Gemara is asking that when it says the zea klal, it seems to be a continuation of the entire Mishnah, even the Reisha. And the Reisha started talking about zrika. So there was Zrika as in carrying on Shabbos. There's Zrika that we saw in the second case in the Mishnah making a Chabura. And then you have the Klal. To say the Klal is only talking about something that's nothing to do with Zrika at all, and it's only to do with walking, with being Ma'avir, that's not probable. And therefore, we cannot really settle for this either. Elo Omar Rava, this is Rava number two. Rava, a new idea of Rava. And this is Rava now having a new approach to the ratio of the Mishnah. And now Rava is changing his mind altogether. He's saying that the concept that we said before, that if you throw something, it makes a difference if you can bring it back or not. If you cannot bring it back, then your thoughts, your awareness in transit are not relevant. That is not true anymore. We said that initially because we tried to understand when Zayrek is chayev and when Zayrek is not chayev, as we saw before. But now Rav is saying, no, tarati ktoni, indeed the Mishnah is telling us two things. Hazoyrik v'nizkar me'achar sheyotzo miyod, if somebody throws something on Shabbos and he remembers after it left its hand, then even if there's a proper hanocha, he's going to be potur. Why? Even though he cannot bring it back. Because at the end of the melacha, you are aware that it was asa. It's not called the end of the melacha being b'shoigig. Inami, the Mishnah means to say there's another case where you'll also be potur. And this is even if you did not become aware in transit that it's asa, nonetheless you'll be potur. And that is loy nizkar, if I did not become aware, v'kol to achir oy kol to kelev oy shenisrafa, if there was no hanocha, either because somebody else caught it, or a dog caught it, or it got burnt, In that case, you also potter. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi is very similar to Rava in this aspect, that the Reisha is talking about two cases. Just Rav Ashi makes it easier. He makes it into one case. It flows easier into the Mishnah, but he's got the same ideas as Rava, that becoming aware in transit is called being aware. And if you stay aware till the end of the Malacha, you're not going to be Chayev, even if you cannot bring back the Malacha after becoming aware. Rav Ashi Omar, Chisure Mechs Rav Ochi Ktoni. We have to read a little bit into the Mishnah. And it goes as follows. Hazeirik, if you threw something on Shabbos, Venizkar, and you remembered, you became aware that it was Osa. Me'achash Yotzam Yodeh, after it left your hand. So the Malacha started B'Shegig, and now in transit, it's not Shegig anymore. You remembered that it's Osa. Then, Kolto Achir, Oy Kolto Kelev, Oy Nisrafa. If there was also no Hanocha, then he's, in any case, potter, because there was no anocha. Ha anocha, if it did land, then chayev is chayev, when? On one condition. Bamed vorm amurim, because at the beginning we asked a question on this. How can you say chayev if the end of the malacha was not done b'shoigig? In the third stage of the Mishnah told us that malacha has to be done at the beginning and the end b'shoigig. So Rav Ashi is taking care of that. Bamed vorm amurim, when is it true that in spite of the fact that you had an awareness in the middle, nonetheless, you're going to be chayev? Shechozar v'shochach. We're talking about if at the end of the malacha you again became a shoigig. You either forgot it was Shabbos or you forgot it was Osa. In that case, the beginning of the malacha was done b'shoigig. The end of the malacha was done b'shoigig. The fact that in the middle you had a little bit of time where it was mazed, that doesn't bother us, and that doesn't contradict the rule at the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah, it says that we need tchilos on shgogo v'soif on shgogo. We need the beginning and the end to be shoigig. We don't need the whole middle to be shoigig. B'med v'orim amurim shechozar v'shochach. If you forgot again afterwards, avoloy chozar v'shochach, if you did not forget again, potter, then is potter from chatos. Why? Shekol chay v'chatois, einun chayovin ad shetei tchiloson v'soifon shgogo. The rule at the end of the Mishnah is explaining that the reason is potter is because you need to have the beginning and the end being a shoigig in order to be chayev a chatos. Continues the Gemara. Ze'aklal kol chayve chatois. This is the last case in the Mishnah, the rule that all chatois, to be chayev, you need to be shoigig at the beginning and the end. Says the Gemara, Itmar, shtei amois b'shoigig. If somebody carried two amois, or he threw two amois, we're soon going to see that, and he was a shoigig. And then, shtei amois b'mezid. The next two amos of this item in transit, he was b'mezid. He became aware that it was Osa and it was Shabbos. And then, shtei amois b'shoigig. And then the next two amois, this object actually went, traveled six amois. The last two amois were again shoigig. He either forgot it was Shabbos or forgot it was Osa. In that case, there's a machlokes Rabba and Rava. Rabba Omar Potur. Rabba says he's Potur. Rava Omar Chayev. Rava says he's Chayev. And we're soon going to see that the truth is they're not arguing with each other. Rabba says Potur in one case, Rava says Chayev in a different case. And they both agree. But before we go on to the next Gemara, we have to introduce a sugya later on. This is going to be a sugya on Daf Kufhei. The Gemara says, what happens if somebody wrote one letter? We know that to be chayev for kosev on Shabbos, you're only chayev if you write two letters. If somebody wrote one letter b'shoigig, then he became aware, it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. And then he forgot either that you're not allowed to write or he forgot that it was Shabbos. And then he wrote the second letter. This is a question, is he chayev chatos, is he not chayev chatos? So we know that normally, if somebody does a whole malacha, and then he becomes aware, and then he again becomes unaware and does the malacha again, that's called yudiyos mechalkois, and he brings two chatois. Over here, he did chetzi malacha, a chetzi shiur, he only wrote one of the two letters. So this is a question if yudiyos of chetzi malacha or chetzi shiur, if it's called a yudiyah, to separate the two, and since at each span of of lack of awareness, there was only one letter, he's going to be potter? Or do we say, no, the idea between two halves of malacha is not considered a break, it's not mechalkois, and since he did two oisyos, he wrote two letters, both b'shoigig, he's going to be chayev. That's actually a machlekas between Reb Gamliel and the Tanakama. Reb Gamliel says, ein yodia lechatzi shiur, and he holds, yochayev. The fact that he knew in the middle does not break it up. The Tanakama say, he's potter. Because in the middle of a melacha, you became aware, since it's a chetzi shiur, yes, yodia lechetzi shiur, it's as if it's two different types, two different approaches, two different melachis that he started, and each time he only did half the melacha, he's potter. That's the Tanakama. And there's some similarity between the case of the Gemara in Daf Kuf Hei, where you've got one letter written, and then an awareness, and then another letter written, similar to our case we're discussing here, where you have two amas b'shoigeg, and then you have a span of mezid, which the item happened to travel another two amas, and then another two amas of shoigeg. To be chayev chatos, you need a shoigeg. I have two amas of shoigeg at one end, two amas of shoigeg on the other end, with a span of awareness in the middle. Is this the same machlekas as Reb Gamliel v'Tanakama? Is it true to say that Rabba here in this Gemara who says potur is following the Tanakama and Rava who says chayev is following Reb Gamliel? Or no? Can Rabba and Rava both be following both Reb Gamliel and the Tanakama? And there's a very big difference between the cases. Let's see the Gemara. Rabba Omar Potur, Rabba who says Potur in our case, is Afilu Rabban Gamliel de Omar Ein Yedir Lechatzi Shiur, even according to the Chachomim, even according to Rabban Gamliel. So Rabba who says Potur, we understand how he follows the Tanakama. Tanakama says, Yesh Yedir Lechatzi Shiur. So too here, the Yedir in the middle is splitting up the two Chetzi Shiurs, and therefore he's Potur. But the Gemara says, even according to Reb Gamliel, who says that Ein Yedia Lechatzi Shiur, and we do merge the beginning and the end, the two letters that were written by Shoigig, over here nonetheless, Reb Gamliel would agree to Rabba that he's potter. Why? Hosom, in the case of the writing, Techiko Gomar Shiura, B'Shoigig Ko Gomar, to be Chayiv on Shabbos, for Kosev, you need two letters. When you wrote letter number two, it was b'shoigeg. And therefore, we can understand that Reb Gamliel will say that he's chayev. However, Abul Hocha, in our case, the b'mezid, over here, what considered the melach of carrying? Dalad Amas. When he got to the end of Amma number four, was Amma number four done b'shoigeg or b'mezid? It was done b'mezid. So that's why Rabbi says he's potur. You started carrying with Amma number one, 1, 2 was b'shoigeg, 3, 4 was b'mezid, and that's it. And therefore, we don't even have to look on anymore. The melacha was started b'shoigeg and ended b'mezid, therefore he's potter from bringing a chatos. Now the Gemara is saying, ubamai, what case are we talking about? Ibazirik, if we're talking about that he threw it, and we assume that you cannot retract it in the middle, and since he cannot retract it in the middle, then can we say, stop the melacha in the middle? You cannot stop the melacha. And this is not to do with the discussion we had before, whether the intentions you had when it was not in transit, when you couldn't bring it back, when it was in transit and you couldn't bring it back, whether we validate that or not. Of course we validate it. The question is, what was happening at the end of the melacha? Over here, that means, of course, as we saw in the Maskona before, if you are considered amazed if you become aware. So you are amazed over here. You're amazed with Amma 3 and 4. The question is, can we stop the melacha? Can we say, Amma number 4, that's the end of the melacha, and the end of the melacha was done by amazed. You can only do that if you can actually stop the melacha in the middle. If you cannot stop the melacha in the middle, then you're considered amazed. But you had not stopped the melacha yet. You have to continue. And since he was, after that, he was again shoigeg in Amma number 5 and 6, the end of the melacha would be b'shoigeg. And then he should be chayev. So Gemara is saying, ibazayrek shoigeku. He's considered a shoigeg. Because the time he gets to the end of the melacha, is when it lands, because you couldn't stop it in the middle. Elo, and then he's going to be chayev, and Rabbi says potter. Says the Gemara, elo b'mavir. Rabbi says potter is talking about when you're actually holding the item in your hand, you're walking six amos. The first two amos b'shegig, the next two amos, you're aware, you could stop, you keep going, you're called mazid. And since you could stop there, we say amma number four, let's put a break there. That's the end of your malocha. You continued, but we consider that as being an end because he could have stopped there. And then it's called a malocha that started b'shoigig, ended b'mezid, and therefore he's not chayev achatos. However, if he would have thrown it, then we would consider the end of the malocha as being amma number six. And amma number six, he's again a shoigig because in the meantime, he'd forgotten again. Rava Omar Chayev. Now we're going to Rava. Rava says Chayev. So we understand, according to Reb Gamliel, of course he's going to be Chayev, because Ein Yodia Lechetzi Shiur. The fact that he didn't do a whole malocha before he became aware, and therefore we don't consider the Yodia as being Mechalkois. He has two Amos B'Shoigig at the beginning, two Amos B'Shoigig at the end, so he's Chayev. That's fine. The question is, could Rava say his halacha, even according to the Rabbonon, the Tanakama, who say he's potter there? Says the Gemara, v'afilu l'Rabbonon d'omra yesh li'idia l'chatzi shiur, even according to the Rabbonon, who say that if you have knowledge in the middle, then that's a reason to say that you can't be chayev achatos. That's only hosom, in the case of kosev, to be hosom who to be yodui, because you can actually stop doing the malacha. You did the malacha, it was in your hands to stop, you became aware. Why do you carry on? If you started again, it was like a new malocha you started. You only did half the malocha, and therefore, according to Tanakama, you're going to be potter. Aval hocha, but in our case, te'en b'yodai, you cannot stop the malocha in the middle. So the beginning and the end is one continuation. Loi, in that case, even the Tanakama might agree that he's going to be chayev, because the beginning of the malocha was b'shoigig, and the end of the malocha was b'shoigig. Why are you suggesting that you cannot stop the malocha? Stop walking. Ubamai, says the Gemara, what case are we talking about? Ibamavir, if you're carrying the object, haribiyodoy, you can stop. If you can stop, it's the same as kaisav, in which case Rava would say that he's potur, like according to the Tanakama. Elabazirik, when Rava says chayav, is actually talking about when you throw it. And if you throw it, since you cannot stop it in the middle, with the end of the malocha is marked by the end of the sixth amma. So we look at the beginning, it's a shoigig. We look at the end, it's a shoigig, and therefore he's chayev a chatos according to Rava. So and at the end of the sugya, Rabbi says potter is talking about somebody who's walking with the chayfets. Rava says chayev is talking about somebody who threw the chayfets, and they're not arguing. And they both can hold, both according to Reb Gamliel and the Rabbonon in the Gemara and Daf Kufhei with Kosev, because there are distinct differences between the Kosev case and our case. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabba. Zorak v'nocho b'pi kelev. If somebody threw an item and it landed in the mouth of a dog, or in the mouth of a furnace, it got burnt up. In other words, there was no hanocha. Chayev is chayev. Asks the Gemara, v'anantnan. This is a contradiction to what we said in our Mishnah. At the beginning of our Mishnah, we learned that kol to'achir, if somebody else received it, oy kol to'akelev, oy shenisrafo, potur. In these cases, he's going to be potur. Says the Gemara, hosam d'loy mechavan. In the Mishnah, we're talking about where you didn't throw it into the dog's mouth. You threw it, hoping it would land. And then, whatever the circumstances were, a dog received it, somebody else received it. It was not planned that way. However, in the case of Rabbah here, we're talking about hocha dekom mechavan, when you initially threw it into the dog's mouth, you threw it into the furnace, since you gave chashivus, you gave value, in your mind, this type of hanocha was choshev, even though it wasn't a proper hanocha on a dalad al dalad, on a proper surface, nonetheless, you're going to be chayev. Omar of Bivi Barabaya, we learned similar to this in a brisa. Yesh oichel achilo achas. It's possible to eat one act of eating. V'chayev ole o dalet chatois, and you'll be chayev four chatois v'osham echod and a korban osham. How? Hatomei. If the person was tomei, she'ochal chelev, and he ate chelev, which is part of, which chelev you're not allowed to eat at all. Now this, and it's chiyuv koros. If somebody eats chelev b'sheigeg, he brings a chatos. V'hu noisor, this chelev happened to belong to a korban. It's noisor min ha-mukdoshim. And it's talking about that the time that one is allowed to eat this korban is terminated. It's called noisor, which is another koros on its own right. B'yom ha-kippurim, and he ate it on Yom Kippur, eating on Yom Kippur is a koros on its own right. So in this case, you're going to have four reasons for a chatos. He's tomei, tomei who eats hekdesh is koros. It's chelev, it's koros. Noisar is koros. Yom Kippur is koros. Reb Meir, and he's going to bring since he had benefit from hekdesh, he's going to bring an asham me'ilois, because somebody who has benefit from hekdesh has to bring a korban me'ila, an asham. Reb Meir says, I've got a fifth chatos. Af im hoiso Shabbos, if it happened to be Shabbos, v'hoitzioi bepiv, and he took it out in his mouth, whilst it was in his mouth, he went out from Roshus Hayochid to Roshus Horabim, chayev is going to be chayev. Why? Because he carried on Shabbos. Omruloi, the Chachomim said to him, Eine min Hashem. You might be right, but the reason it's not in this list is because we're only talking about the chatois and the osham to do with consequent to the act of eating. Here you weren't eating, you were doing carrying. It's a different avera, and you're right. But that's not in our list, it's not our discussion. Asks the Gemara, but you both agree that if it's in your mouth and you carry it, you're chayev. Va'amai, ho'ein derech ho'itzor bekach. Is that a normal way of carrying, putting it in your mouth and taking it from one place, transferring it from one place to the next? Since in his mind he wants the item to be in his mouth and that way he's going to carry it, it's considered a place, it's considered a somewhere to do a hanocha in, and therefore it's going to be chayev. Hochanami, so too in the case of the furnace or the case of the dog's mouth, since you wanted this item to land there, it's considered a place which has a significant place of a hanocha, and therefore you're going to be chayev. Hadron aloch hazoirek, siyata deshmai, we finished Perek Hazoirek, and Emir Tzashem, we're going to do Chazor on Perek Hazoirek, and we're now going to start Perek Haboine. Says the Mishnah, Haboine, somebody who builds on Shabbos, and we know that Boine is one of the obvious melochis. Kamo yivne v'yechayev. How much does you have to build in order to be chayev for the melocha of Boine? Says the Mishnah, Haboine kol shehu. If he does even the smallest amount of Boine, he's chayev on Shabbos. V'hamasaseis, somebody who chisels at a stone on Shabbos. V'hamake bepatish, or if somebody strikes a final blow with a hammer, or b'mitzod, or with a sledgehammer, even a bigger hammer, or hakideach, if somebody drills a hole, in all these cases, kol shehu, even if it's the smallest amount, chayev, he's chayev. Zeh aklal, the rule is, says the Mishnah, kol ha'oisem melocha, anyone who does an act of labor, umalachti miskayemes, and the labor that he did endures, which means it lasts, he doesn't need to do any more, this is it, it's self-contained, b'Shabbos, and he did this on Shabbos, chayev is going to be chayev. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel oimer, Shimon ben Gamliel says, af hamake bekurnos, even if somebody strikes with his hammer, al hasadon, onto the metal work surface, b'shas melocha, whilst he's working with a hammer, even though he's not actually banging on whatever needs to be banged on, he's just banging on the surface, chayev, he's also chayev, mipnei shehu k'masakin melocha, because he's doing this to help him improve his work, and therefore he's chayev, and we'll see more on this on the Gemara on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, kol shehu l'may chozya, you're saying that to build even the smallest amount, you're chayev. Well, to build the smallest amount, a tiny bit of doing something in a building, what's that fit for? What's it useful for? Why should it be chayev? Omer Abirmir says, I'll tell you why. I'll show you where even the smallest amount of building could have value. Shekein oni chayfer guma. A poor man, he digs a little ditch, latzniabo prutoisov, in order to store his coins in it, and he's just making a small ditch, and that's enough for him, So you see that even a small amount of building is considered a building and has value. To kavasoga b'mishkan, we find such a thing also in the Mishkan. Shekein toifre yireis, those who would sew the curtains of the Mishkan, choifrin gumo, they would dig a little ditch, latznia bo machtean, in order to store their needles in it. Abaya Omar, Abaya says that's not probable. Kiven de meshatchi, since these needles will become rusty, loyov de hocha, we can assume they did not do this in the Mishkan. Ela shakein oni oise pitpute kiro ktano lishvois oleo ktero ktano. A poor man, oise, he crafts a stand, a pitpute is a stand, kiro ktano, of a small oven, lishvois oleo, in order to set on top of this small oven, ktero ktano, a small pot. A poor man, he's only got very small pots, and he's got a very small oven, and he needs a stand for this oven. Making such a small stand is already considered a small contraption, a small building, and is chayev. And there's a discussion why this is not the sugya of binyan bekelim. It's a sugya elsewhere, Maseches Beitza. There's no binyan bekelim. Either way, the Gemara here compares this concept of this pitputi, this stand for the oven, compares it to the melacha of boine. So either we're talking about a type of binyan bekelim that everybody agrees is boine, or we're talking about something that's attached to the ground, and then it's not considered binyan bekelim, it's regular boine. Where do we find such a case in the Mishkan? De kavasoga b'mishkan mevashle samonim, those who would cook the herbs, litzvoya yurios, in order to dye the curtains, shechosra melachton, they underestimated how much dye they needed, and there was a little bit left that needed painting. They didn't have enough dye. Oisin pitpute kirok tano, they would make this small stand onto which they would put a very small oven, lishbeis oleo yerek tano, to put a very small kettle on top of it, in which they would cook the herbs to make these dyes. And since it was done in the Mishkan like that, even the smallest amount of binyan is considered a binyan and is chayev. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar, Ein anius b'mokim ashiros. Rav Acha bar Yaakov argues and says it's not probable that they ever ran out of an ingredient of dyes in the Mishkan, because in a place of ashiros, of royalty, of wealth, there's never a shortage. There's no anios, there's no poverty, and they always made more than enough to an ample enough to do what they had to do. It's not probable they were ever short. Elo, shekein balabais, a regular balabais, a homeowner, sheyeshlo nekev bebirosoi, if there's a little hole in his mansion, v'soismoi, since he's very makbid about the way his mansion looks, if there's even just a little hole, he's typically going to seal it, he's going to close the hole, and therefore you see that even a very small amount is considered boine. Where do we find that in the Mishkan? De kavasoga b'mishkan, shekein keresh, one of the planks that were coated in gold, but they were wooden planks, shenofla boi darano, that a worm penetrated it and made a little hole, meitif letoicho aver, they would pour lead inside the hole, which is a small little bit of lead, which is a type of binyan, into these beams, into these planks, v'soismeh, and he would close it up. So you see that doing even a very small act of boineh is considered boineh. Continues the Gemara, Omer Shmuel, hametzadeh eso even, if somebody just positions stones on Shabbos, even though he does not cement it, chayev is going to be chayev, presumably for boineh. Meisvi asks the Gemara, in the Braisa we found, Echod noisenes even, if one person sets the stone, v'echod noisenes atit, and somebody else puts the cement there, hanoisenes atit chayev, the one that did the boina is the one that put the cement, not the one that placed the stone. So how can you, Shmuel, say that just positioning the stone is chayev? In the Braisa you see that you need to have only the one that puts cement there is chayev. Asks the Gemara, ul'tameich eimo seifa. I'll ask you a different question. Look at the end of that braisa. The end of the braisa, it says, Reb Yosi Omer, afilu helo ve'niach al gabei dimus. This is the other way around. You want to say that Shmuel is holding of a different opinion? and you don't need the cement. Let's look at Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, even if you just lifted up a stone, v'hiniach al gabei dimos, and you just placed it onto the row underneath it, you didn't even position it. Metzadit means that you positioned it. You put a bit of earth and stones on this side and that side to straighten it without cement, but you positioned it. Even if you didn't position it, you just placed it al gabei dimos shel avonim on a row of stones, chayev yechayev. So either way, Shmuel should either say you're only chayev if you put cement, or should say that you're chayev even if you just place the stone and you're not mitzadid. What's this compromise that if you're mitzadid, if you position the stone, then you're chayev? Elo says the Gemara, Tlosa binyon rehava, there are three stages of building, and each one is relevant in its own way. And if you do each stage appropriately, you've done boine. Tata, the lowest row of stones, that's one way of doing it. Metzia, all the rows above it, which are in the middle, till the last row, excluding the last row. Ve'ila, and the uppermost row. There's three ways of building and positioning these stones. Tata, the very lowest row of stones. Boye tziduda, they need positioning. Ve'afra, and they would wedge the earth whilst positioning it. But they didn't need cement. And that is what Shmuel was talking about. The Amitzadid Eso'evin Chayev is talking about the lowest level of stones onto which the rest of the wall was built. Metzia, all the middle rows, Boya Namitino. In order they shouldn't fall down, they need cement. And that's the case of the Braisa, the Chachomim in the Braisa, that says that the one that puts the cement, he's the one that's Chayev. Eloi, the very top the row of stones, Bahanocha Ba'alma, just putting it there is already the end. There's nothing, no weight on it. There's no reason it has to be exactly level, exactly straight. Therefore, it doesn't need positioning. It doesn't need cement. And therefore, just putting them there is going to be Chayev. And that's what Rabbi Yossi was talking about. So we had three opinions, and they're not arguing with each other. It just depends which row of stones they're talking about. Continues the Gemara. V'hammasaseis, we saw in the Mishnah, that somebody that chisels on Shabbos is chayev even if it's kol shehu. Asks the Gemara, masaseis, somebody who's chiseling, mishumai mechayev, which melocha is chiseling chayev for? Rav Omar mishum boine. Rav says it's called building, even though you're just chiseling it, but it's enough of a pro. It's an important enough stage that it's considered boine. You're improving the binyan, you're improving the building somewhat with this act of chiseling, and therefore you're chayev. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel argues and says no. For boina it's not enough, because you're not building, you're just chiseling the stone away. But it's mishum makeh bepatish. In order to release this stone from the mountain that you're trying to remove the stone from, then if you give it that final knock that finally releases the stone from the rock that you're taking it off from, it's called makeh bepatish. It's the final blow with the hammer. Makeh bepatish is one of the melochas. Giving the final blow, doing the final part of any melocha, is chayev. And what's the difference if you're chayev for boino or you're chayev for makeh bepatish? The difference is going to be hasra. If somebody is mechalel Shabbos, you have to warn him. Do you realize you're doing X melocha and you're not allowed to? And then, only then he's going to be chayev. If you warn him for the wrong melacha, he's not going to be chayev. So if you see somebody chiseling, if two edim, two witnesses, see somebody who's chiseling on Shabbos, then according to Rav, you have to tell him, you're doing boine. According to Shmuel, you have to say, you're doing makeh bepatish. Continues the Gemara. Ha'oise nekev belul shel tarnagolim. If somebody bores a hole in the chicken coops, in order to that the smell should find its way out, because if you don't, then the smells will get concentrated in the chicken coop and could end up killing the chickens. Rav Omar boine, mishum boine. Rav says, since this hole is all you needed here, and you need this window, and making an airway in a building is an important stage in the building, yuchayev for boine. Shmuel Omar mishum makeh bepatish. Shmuel says that he's not chayev for boine, since it's not a regular entrance, it's just a small hole to let the smells out, but it's a makeh bepatish, it's the final blow that is perfecting this lul, this chicken coop, and therefore he's chayev. A third case, says the Gemara, Ayil, if somebody wedges shufsa, a peg, bekufino demora, in the cavity at the head of a hoe, they had a cavity there which they would fill up that cavity, they would bang a peg into it, that way the blade, the head of the hoe, will not come loose from its handle. Rav Omar Mishum Boine, Rav says he's chayef for Boine, and Tosfos here asks, Ein binyan bekelim, Tosfos discusses it, but either way Rav says it's Boine, or Shmuel Omar Mishum Makeh Bepatish, Shmuel says you're chayef for Makeh Bepatish, as we said before, the final blow, when you finally finalize anything, you make something ready and usable, that in itself is a melacha, and you're chayev. Otzricha, I need to tell us all three cases, the case of the chiseling, the case of making the hole, and the case of wedging a peg into the cavity of a hoe. I need all three cases. Di oishminun kamaisa, if we would only know that chiseling is a machloikas Rav and Shmuel, I might have thought by hiko amar Rav, only in that case, Rav says it's boine, mishum de derech pinyin bekach. Chiseling is one of the stages of building. But if you're making a hole in the chicken coop, it's not considered one of the acts of building. Maybe Rav will agree to Shmuel that it's not boine, it's makeh bepatish. And if you only know the nekev and the masases, then I might have thought, Bahoka Omar Rav, only in those cases Rav says is boina, Mishum de domi lebinyan, it's similar to building the Ovde la Avira, because you're making this hole in order to let the air, the smells out, and it's similar to creating a window which is made to air out a house, a room. Aval shuvsa bekufino demora, but a peg in the cavity of a hoe, de ein derech binyan bekach, this is not an act of building in any way, eime moidele le Shmuel, I may have thought that he agrees with Shmuel that it's not boine, it's makeh bepatish, and therefore we need to tell us, even there Rav says it's similar, or it's got similarities to building and is chayev for boine. Havia yishminon beho, and if you'll only tell us this last case, that even that is called boine according to Rav, why do I need the other cases? Because the other way around, I may have thought, Bahoka or Mashmuel, maybe only in this case of the hoe, it's makeh bepatish. Aval Bahanoch Tarti, but maybe in the case of the chiseling and the case of making the hole at the back of the in the wall or in the roofing of a chicken coop, I may have thought that Shmuel will agree to Rav that it's boine. Bahanoch Tarti, Eime Moidule le Rav, maybe Shmuel agrees to Rav. Tzricha, and that's why it needs to say it. And then Tosfos says, why can't we just say the case of the chiseling and the case of the hoe, and then we'll know the extreme cases of Rav and Shmuel. I don't need the case in the middle. And Tosfos discusses it. Tosfos doesn't make himself so clear. The Chasam Sofer tries to explain it, but let's leave it simple. Continues the Gemara. Boy minei Rav Nosson bar Oishia mi Rabbi Yechanon. Rav Nosson bar Oishia asked Rabbi Yechanon the following question. Mesase, somebody who chisels on Shabbos, Mishumai Mechayev. What's he chayev for? We saw before it was Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says he's chayev for Boina, Shmuel says Makeh Bepatish. Achve le Rabbi Yechanon demonstrated to Rav Nosson bar Oishia Biyode with his hands, he banged his fist into his other palm, showing him that Mishum Makeh Bepatish is chayev for giving the final blow, is chayev Makeh Bepatish. Asks the Gemara, Vo'anantanan, did we not learn in the Mishnah, Hamasasis, Ve'amakeh Bepatish? Chiseling is one melocha, and Makeh Bepatish, giving the final blow, is another melocha. How can you say that the melocha of Masasis is Makeh Bepatish? Says the Gemara, Eimer, read into the Mishnah, Hamasasis, Hamakeh Bepatish. Somebody who's chiseling, giving the last blow, he's chayef for Makeh Bepatish, even Bekolsho. Continues the Gemara Toshima. Hakideach, somebody who drills, we also saw this in the Mishnah, Kol Shehu, Chayev is Chayev. Says the Gemara, Bishle Milarav, according to Rav, who said that just making a hole, which is a type of drilling, which is also drilling, Rashi says there's a difference between Nekev making a hole and Kideach, inasmuch as Kideach, typically when you drill, it's in order to fill up the hole with something. You're trying to make a hole to hang something onto it or into it. But the nekev is just you making the hole for the sake of the hole. But Rav, who says that making a hole is considered boine, then I can understand that drilling will be boine. Why? Because merze deman dechor churusa lebinya, because somebody who's drilling, he's really making a hole into the... He's drilling a hole into a building, and according to Rav, it's not so hard to be chayev for boine. Elo l'shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who says that you're chayev for making a hole in the chicken coop, why you chayev? Because of makeh bepatish, for making the final blow. That's very good when you're drilling a hole that's going to stay a hole. In the case of kodeach, of drilling, where typically you're going to fill up the hole with something, lav gmar melacha, it's not the final blow. It's not the final thing you're doing in whatever you're trying to do. So you're not chayev for makeh bepatish. And for boine, you're not chayev, because Shmuel says that you're never chayev for boine when just making a hole, a small hole like this. Says the Gemara, Hochab Mayaskinon, we're talking about that he drilled in a way that whilst making the hole, he filled the hole. What does that mean? Deboze, he pierced the wall, beramtza, with a nail, the parzel of iron, v'shovke begave, and he intended to leave it in the wall, as we would typically bang a nail into the wall. You're making the hole at the same time as filling the hole with a nail. And therefore, the making of the hole is actually the gemar melacha, dehainu gemar melacha, it's the final blow to whatever you're trying to put into the wall, and therefore, according to Shmuel, he's going to be chayev for makeh bepatish. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.